From the short tracks to the super speedways, from two wheels to four wheels, it's Revved Up ATX on the Horn with Bobby Chaffee and Rodney Rodriguez. Presented by AMM Collision. This is where Austin talks racing.
It is indeed where Austin talks racing. Revved Up ATX on the Horn. Glad to be back. Coming out of some Texas football there. A lot of those 11 o'clock games are really shaking up the Saturday morning lineup. But we are back live, local, digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Rodney Rodriguez, give me a follow on Twitter at the Rodney R. John Reichel behind the glass. You can follow him at JS Reichel. The show at Revved Up ATX. The station at the Horn ATX on Twitter and Instagram. Working into the off season, but I'll tell you what, friends, we have a lot to talk about here this morning on Revved Up ATX as we get ready to crank it up right here. So obviously that there's still, you've still got a Formula One season that's going on, and there's a lot of drama, and you've got a fantastic race happening there for the FIA World Driving Championship. We'll talk about that towards the bottom of the hour in segment two as we get you ready as they head to Saudi Arabia. Then coming up, pit stop news and notes at the end of the show, as we always do. We'll actually start previewing, because we are less than a month now, or right at a month away. Monster Energy Supercross will get fired up as it starts off in January. We'll work you through that schedule, just give you an idea of what all is going to be going on there. Tell you about the Snowball Derby happening in Pensacola, Florida, and lots more. However, we go start out, and we have to talk. Got to talk about NASCAR, Champions Week in NASCAR, and there have just been so many things that have been going on. And NASCAR, much like the National Football League, I've talked to so many people, and I tell them, you know, racing season ends, but it never really ends. It's just like the NFL. The NFL goes into the offseason. You've got free agency, everything that's going to be happening. And I can definitely tell you, after a week that we have sat and watched with college football, as we've watched coaches moving around, you've got Riley moving around, taking just enormous amounts of money, and you got Kelly leaving Notre Dame, and everything that's happening with college football, it's ironic that with NASCAR, we have seen so much money exchanged in the past week and deals done. That just, it's really a head scratcher. And the one that I really want to talk about first is a year ago, and this correlates right into what we're seeing with college sports and college football and just the money, the business side of professional sports. And here is exactly another great point. And yes, from the text line, 337-3776. We will rate the command. We're going to keep doing that here as we work in the off season. So that's coming up here at the bottom of this first segment. But 2311 Racing, of course, this is the Denny Hamlin, Michael Jordan owned team last year with Bubba Wallace. And I actually want to talk about that Bubba Wallace win. I'll probably do that at the end of the show. I'm going to give you a really cool tidbit about that win on a historical stage that we saw this past week as we go into December. Last year, 2311 comes in. They acquire a charter for $4 million. What is the charger, Double R, you ask me? The charter is what you essentially purchase is going to punch your ticket into each and every NASCAR race. And again, qualifying, all of that is back. Qualifying and practice. I'll break that down for you here at some point. May not get into that today, but in a nutshell, since the return of NASCAR from the pandemic, from the COVID pandemic, you didn't have qualifying in practice like you did in the past. It was essentially a one-day show. You had the draw that happened during the week. That's how they started. Practice qualifying is coming back. I think that's a great thing because the entertainment value, folks are at the racetracks on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday when there's not a cup race going on, or depending on when the cup race is, they want other things going on. Cars on the track is definitely a very good thing to satisfy the appetite of a race-hungry fan base that's live at the racetrack. A year ago, $4 million is what it cost for that charter, which guarantees you entry into each and every one of these races. Now even more important, once again, because qualifying is coming back, and you essentially could have more teams that are going to be jumping into NASCAR with the next-gen car. And I've got some next-gen car news for you. You guys have missed so damn much through all of these Texas football losses when it comes to NASCAR stuff, but here in the next few weeks, we're going to get you all caught up, because just in less than 100 days, we will be running the Daytona 500. 2311, another team. They're going to have a second team. They're going to have a team car, number 45, 23 and 45. If you can't figure that out, you probably don't know basketball very well, to be driven by Kurt Busch. They want another charter. They want another charter to guarantee Kurt Busch and the 45 car are going to be in every race. I personally don't think there's anything to worry about, but it's one of those things where the peace of mind, get the charter. A year ago, it cost $4 million. So here's the thing. The story breaks on Thursday. Adam Stern with Sports Business Journal reports that 2311, they paid Starcom Racing. Starcom Racing never had a top 10, never had a top 30 in owner points, never really had a lot of success. Underfunded team. Listen to this. Listen to this. 2311 Racing on Thursday pays $13.5 million for a charter to make sure that Kurt Busch and the 45 car are going to be in each and every one of those races. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. $13.5 million. Team owner Denny Hamlin told Fox's Bob Pockris this.
Reports today that the 2311 bought a charter for $13.5 million. I want to say that at one point you said you weren't going to pay $10 million. So did you end up paying more than what you wanted?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. All it did was tell me my investment last year of $4 million was a good investment. So, I mean, not ideal, but, I mean, if we plan on being for the sport for a long time, then, you know, we're all placing a bet.
And there it is right there. And that's at Champions Week in Nashville, as all the champions crowned now as we're here on Saturday. All of that has happened. There was some cool stuff happening there. But it just, you want to talk about, we sit here, I know in my regular daily life, I sit here and talk about home values appreciating and in this hot Austin market that we hear so much about and everything that's happening. But let me tell you guys, it is flattening out a little bit. I can tell you more about that off the hook, but we are pulling back a little bit because I get that question a lot. But you want to talk about appreciation, and he said it right there. The year before, the $4 million, which to me is a hell of a lot too much, the $4 million compared to $13.5 million, the most ever paid. The most ever paid since the charter system was originated back in 2016. You want to talk about the skyrocketing prices of this. That is just unbelievable. Each and every time that I go back and I read that and I see everything that came about with that, it's really unbelievable to me that this sport. I mean, growing up as a lifelong stock car racing fan and the different things that I've been, you know, fortunate to do and, you know, being thankful. Hopefully everybody was, you know, got, you know, plenty of good, you know, time with family and friends here this past weekend or this past week. But man, to see how the sport has evolved. And if that wasn't enough, a couple of days prior to that, you had another big transaction, which in hindsight, I guess if I really look at this, you want to talk about appreciation. So this was long about Tuesday, I guess it was. Yeah, December 2nd. Dateline, December 2nd. And this shocked a lot of people because, you know, the statement reads, I mean, everything that you saw, it's Richard Petty Motorsports sells out and so forth and so on. Well, here's what really happens. GMS Racing, which a lot of success, you know, whether it be in the truck series or other divisions, paying Medallion Financial, that's key word right there, Medallion Financial, you know, controlling interest in Richard Petty Motorsports, about $19 million for majority stake in RPM and Richard Petty Motorsports. And a lot of people maybe not quite so familiar with racing or with it anymore. You know, Richard Petty has not controlled, you know, Petty Motorsports, Petty Enterprises, all of that. For the longest time, you know, you've had him. He is the face of that operation. He is the face of that operation. And I can tell you, in my opinion, and I'd love to hear yours, 337-3776, that is the Specs text line, he has been the glue that has really kept that thing together. You've got Eric Jones that is driving that car now, who ironically is at that Snowball Derby I talked about in the opening of the program, but the success hasn't been there. You had limited success back in the early 2000s. You know, probably Bobby Hamilton would probably be the last one that I would say had a really good run in the 43 car. You had Bubba Wallace that drove the 43. It was success on the speedway tracks, but nowhere else. But you know, the speedway tracks, that's its own little situation right there. But here's where I want to talk about the appreciation, because we went from December. These were back-to-back days. This transaction first, $19 million, two charters included in the agreement for the 2022 season. Two charters right there. So you've got GMS and Petty teaming up with that. Denny Hamlin, the next day, and Michael Jordan paid $16.5 million for a charter. And these are the dollars right now that, that we're looking at in the world of NASCAR, in the world of cup racing, and just other stuff that happened during the week. I mean, I think it's just more money that's come into to pass right here. You've got corporate people, corporate sponsors like Hooters that are reinvesting once again. They're opting, you know, three more years in with Chase Elliott there on the Hendrick number nine, and that's, you know, good dollars that are happening right there. So that's come into play as well. The NASCAR Roots program, there's been a big financial acquisition right there, where a lot of the local NASCAR stuff are going to move to Flow Sports, who has become a big pay-per-view streaming operation, you know, where this was on Speed Sport before. So you have all of this that has started to move around. It's just so many dollars right here and so many transactions that we're watching during the off time, during the off season, and it all of this happening as Champions Week was culminating or progressing in Nashville. And this was all on the heels where at the end of last week, right after the Thanksgiving holiday, first part of the week, Bristol Motor Speedway and Mayor John Cooper, there's a proposal there in the city of Nashville to where the Nashville Fairgrounds that we've talked about on this program quite often. Catch all the archives at hornfm.com. But we've talked about the revitalization, the rebirth of the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, which is one of the most hallowed grounds and racetracks in the country. Just many years, you know, great legends that have come out of Nashville. The list goes on and on. You know, we could talk about Darrell Waltrip and Sterling Marlin and Mike Alexander and just so many great, short track drivers that progressed into mainstream NASCAR Grand National / Cup racing. We're born and bred right there out of Nashville, and so many great drivers cut their teeth there. You've got drivers that are racing in regional and national late model series, but it's a great place. And just some of the details about it. I mean, the proposal, it's going to Mayor Cooper's objectives wants to revitalize the speedway at no cost to the Metro General Fund, benefit the overall fairgrounds campus. It's a whole thing over there. I mean, you can kind of look at this like out in Hutto where we have Coke Fest. This is a whole grounds out there, kind of like the state fair, you know, like over the state fair of Texas, one of those situations. Here's important: implement noise mitigation as part of the redesign, reduce track testing days. That's huge to keep noise down. And most importantly, generate hundreds of millions of dollars in positive economic impact for Nashville. So a win-win right there. Bristol's on board with that, and they're going to, and I'll tell you, man, we could talk about dollars for charters and dollars for all of these different things right there, but that's some big dollars right there. And already the fairgrounds, just with some of the stuff that's already happened there, the place is in operation, but you can see renderings. I'll put them up on the Revved Up Sports Show Facebook page, and you can check those out about essentially what you're looking at doing right here, because you've got Nashville, you've got a soccer stadium that maybe is already done there. I'm not exactly sure if that's done. You're going to have the Nashville Street Race for the NTT IndyCar Series. It's going to be happening there. So you're going to have a full, essentially what some of the renderings look like. You can kind of take it to Austin FC. You can kind of taking a look at Q2 Stadium out there. And this is a lot of what this looks like. And this is what Nashville is really, again, just we're seeing similarities right here between Nashville and Austin. I visited Nashville years ago, and I said, man, this is really like an Austin right here. And actually, at the time that I was in Nashville, it was more of an old Austin. You know, it was a older Austin feel to me at that point. But, I mean, now I'm sure they're one and the same. I haven't been there so long, but I do plan to get back to Nashville very, very soon. But already with the fairgrounds, you're going to have the Southern Super Series, which is just a tremendous late model series. It goes all around the country. They'll be making appearances there at Nashville Fairground Speedway. You're going to have the ARCA Midwest Tour that's going to be there as well. So it really looks like, and it's so important. It is so important to have Nashville as a breeding ground for this. And just with everything that I just watched in the past week with NASCAR's impact, having the banquet, having the reception in Nashville, it's where it belongs. It's where it belongs. Everything was great in Vegas. I mean, there were, you know, you have everything that happens in Vegas. Vegas is its own little thing right there. And Vegas did NASCAR really, really well. But to get NASCAR back into Nashville, this is really pulling everything back in, and a little tidbit right here that I also heard through the vine that I will take because the source that I heard it from is very accurate with things that I am told on or off the record, is that NASCAR has possibly even taken some interest in the trademark Nash car. That is N-A-S-H car. More to come. We've got off-season. I'm going to tell you all about it. AMM Collision, title sponsor of Revved Up ATX. Their reputation is no accident. Great folks. There are 17 locations all around Austin and Central Texas. They are local, just like us right here at the Horn, just like Revved Up ATX. If you are unfortunately in an accident, first call you need to make, once you make sure everybody's okay, you need to call our friends over at AMM Collision. They will take care of you. AMMCollision.com. They are also the title sponsor of what we like to call Rate the Command, because it is people dropping drivers, start your engines all across the country, all across the world. You can do it really, really well. You can do it really, really bad. Rate the Command, presented by AMM Collision. Let's take a listen this week. I think you're going to recognize this guy's name.
Motorsports, please welcome UFC President Dana White.
What's up, Las Vegas? Are you ready? Gentlemen, start your engines!
There it is right there. I like JR, John. I like right there. You get a little bit of mix of the, yeah, a lot of people clapping. And again, it just happens to know. I sound like a programming genius right there as I'm talking about Vegas, and I go to him being at Vegas. I actually didn't even put the two together. But it, I love the yays and the boos. Short, sweet. Yeah, it pulled the crowd in a little bit. Get yourself booed. You know, I'm going to give that. I'll probably give that about a 6.5. 6.5 for the boss man, Dana White, right there. Rate the Command, presented by AMM Collision. Throw me your number, 337-3776 on the Specs text line. Formula One, heating up. They call it Drive to Survive on Netflix. And I'm telling you one thing, friends. It is a drive to survive right now because this point race is tight. They are heading to Saudi Arabia, and this is some kind of mean track. I'm breaking it down next. This is Revved Up ATX. We're on the Horn, live, local, digital. Streaming on the Horn app and at HornFM.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
Revved Up ATX on the Horn, talking a little bit about the financials there with NASCAR. Rodney Rodriguez, John Reichel, all of you, thank you for checking in. Great program. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. Continue with that Rate the Command there, as you had the mixed reviews there for Dana White. But great question from the text line, as a matter of fact. I got to jump into Formula One. Jump into Formula One here in just a second as they're heading to Saudi Arabia. Actually, already on track in Saudi Arabia. And then we've got a hell of a points race happening right there. And I'll tell you all about that here in just a second. But question on text line. All of these dollars, how does that help you, what you people do local? This must be like one of Bucky's friends asking this question. You people. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. When we start, short track racing has evolved, and this is something that I talk a lot about. I talk a lot about this on the Monday live cast show at revvedupsportsshow.com, as to where when you have NASCAR compared to short track racing, there's some friction there. There's some strained relationships right there. Speaking of that, if you want to listen to something really good, listen to Dale Jr. Download that dropped this week. You can catch it on iTunes and everywhere else. It's Dale Jr. and Kevin Harvick, Mending Fences. Long time coming. Take a listen to that. There's some stuff there that really good stuff, must hear podcast stuff. But here's the situation. You've got a lot of folks where the local folks are going to say NASCAR does absolutely nothing for us on the local side. And here, boom, number one, I'm going to tell you you're wrong with that right there, because you get, I don't give a rip if you are at a dirt track. I don't care if you're at an asphalt short track. People that are going to glue their eyes on a Saturday or a Sunday, whether it be an IndyCar race, if they're going in a circle, or whether it be a NASCAR race, whatever it is, they're going to see that. If you can somehow, and it's up to us, I mean, it's up to us, whether it be on this show, on live casts, on social media, track promoters, drivers, team members, it's for you to correlate what we do to that. Because, friends, it's the same thing. It's the same concept. And I'm here to tell you, when friends and people, and this is disagreements that I have all the time with people. It's like, no, you know, these new NASCAR fans, they're not going to like what we do. They're not going to like what we do. And I'm going to disagree with that as well, because yes, they will like what we do. And here's the other part of it. It's a double-edged sword, because number one, if we can get them to come out to the local tracks and see what we do, and see a great dirt track show or see a pavement show, whatever the case may be, if we can get them out, odds are they're going to like it better. Number one, it's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper to get in. Number two, you're actually there. You can feel it. You can smell it. Everything else is cheaper. Odds are it's not far from home. You know, if you can pull them in on a local standpoint like that. And here's the other part of it. They're going to love the action, because it's right in front of you. I mean, you folks that listen to the show, that have been lifelong Austinites, that whether you went out to Longhorn Speedway or to Thunder Hill out in Kyle Central Texas Speedway. Think about that. What you see on TV, when you see the fans sitting there, put yourself back in those grandstands again and think how close you were to the action right there. I mean, you've got rubber, you've got dirt, you've got stuff that, I mean, you better wear some goggles, because you might get stuff in your face because you're just that close. You're going to like the feel better. But here's the double edge on the double edged sword. Here's the other sharp part, that when it gets you right in the behind, it will kill this whole perfect picture that I'm drawing out for you right now to capture NASCAR or IndyCar fans. Get them out to your local short track. If you get out there and you've got a show, for one thing, here you go, guys. Local classes, we have too damn many of them. Growing up, when I went to racetracks all around the state of Texas and got to go to other parts of the country, you had three or four classes that ran heat races, feature races, out the door, you're done. If you choose to hang around the racetrack till 4 or 5 in the morning, which I have done many, many times, it's my own accord, but the races are over by 10 or 10:30. If you've got 8 or 9, 10 classes that you're going out there and you've got all of this stuff happening and there's classes with not a lot of cars in them and it's very mundane, and then you have other classes that there are very many, many cars or trucks in them and they can't run 2 laps without crashing and you're running constantly under yellow. And I saw this last weekend, and it's Denny Hamlin, who I was talking about earlier, that overpaid $13.5 million for a charter, tweeted out about some action that we were watching last week at South National Motorsports Park. You had great racing happening right there, but there were so many yellows. You had a 75-lap race that took 2.5 hours to race, and that's alarming. That's alarming. And that's where it, double edge, man. Double edge. Yeah. Get them there. Get them there. Entertain them effectively. Get them out the door. I talked to I'm an old racing guy. I talked to so many people. I was like, well, you know, back in when we used to go, I mean, when I was a kid, we'd go to the races. And when my dad started taking me to Speedorama out on 812, and the downtime came, the intermission came, we didn't have all these fancy things that happen at racetracks now with intermission. When it came down for me to go entertain myself for 10, 15 minutes, don't entertain myself. You know what I mean? I'm a young kid, for crying out loud. I had to keep my attention span. I'd go down, kick beer cans or something. I didn't have a smartphone to jump on and play Tetris or whatever everybody plays right now, or jump on and read TMZ and all this other stuff. Distractions are a mini, and that's why it's such a slippery slope right now. And, I don't even really know why I started this. This was supposed to be an F1 conversation, but it's a great question as to how does that help us. And I'll leave it at this. It doesn't help short track racing at the same point, because where short track racing has changed on so many fronts, where I was really going with the gist of this, is the cost of it. The cost of short track racing. We emulate what they do, and we don't want to claim them, as in NASCAR Cup and Xfinity and truck. We don't want to be anything like them, but we are so much like them. Investigate. Look at what it costs to race on a short track, on the dirt or on the pavement. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous and detrimental to the sport. But it's the nature of motorsports. It's been this way forever. It's been this way forever. We've got all off season to talk about this. We can talk about this next week. I'll get into more about it. But I got to talk about Formula One heading to Saudi Arabia, and what a season it's been. And so many folks that saw it up close and personal right here in Austin. You're watching the battle right now. Just an epic battle. Just, you know, 8-9 points apart, whatever it is right now. You've got Lewis Hamilton, Sir Lewis Hamilton, trailing Max Verstappen, and here we go to Saudi Arabia. And this track has been called called insane. It's been called built for excitement. It's got long straightaways. The track is tight. There's walls. And just with everything that the buildup that we've gotten to this point, I think that this thing is going to fall right in place. I mean, you got this, and then you're going to go to Abu Dhabi, and we're done. And these guys are neck and neck. But before I dive into that, oh, my goodness, you want to talk about it. Just a terrible loss for the world of Formula One last year as Sir Frank Williams right there with the Williams Racing Team. You've seen them, just the success all of the years there with Ayrton Senna and Nelson Piquet. You can go back in the years of when Williams was the Mercedes. Williams, obviously, Williams still a part of Formula One racing, probably always going to be. But, I mean, they were the ones. I mean, he was the team principal from 1977 up until 2020. Really started scaling back the early part of the 2010s, obviously, as he was, years were coming up right there. You have to scale away, get away from this thing for a little bit. But how about this? I mean, during the time of Sir Frank Williams being in that principal role right there, 9 Constructors' Championships, 7 Drivers' Championships. And you look at the list of people that have gone through the Williams roster, and it's a who's who. It's a who's who. And Williams is doing really cool, really cool stuff as they are really starting to – I'm really advocating to get – I want to get Jamie Chadwick on this program, who is a champion of the W Series there with Formula One. So somewhat of an F2 right there car, but that is all – it's all a female crew. We saw them here at Circuit of the Americas. Really want to get that interview put together. I think that's something that could be really cool. But just a sad loss right there. And the world of Formula One right now in Saudi Arabia, it's a sad weekend. It's a sad weekend. Just as much as the excitement of everything that we're watching with this just epic, much overused word, epic 2021 season. But this one actually has been, friends. It actually has been. It's a sad weekend. And I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of tributes, a lot of attention, as it should be paid to the great Sir Frank Williams, as we have lost him in the world of Formula One. But here we go. We're going into this race. Lewis Hamilton and Verstappen. The battle is hot and heavy, and you've got there's folks that are saying that Hamilton and Mercedes are cheating, and with the engine change right there. Talked about it the last time we were on the program. You had the 10th place, had to start 10th after being disqualified there. There's just so much that happened at the prior race. But here we go again. We're rolling into it once again. Fernando Alonso has been on record throughout the week saying that Hamilton should be starting dead last in this race just because of everything that's gone on. But this is really a situation where we're watching the championship prowess of Mercedes. They had the kink in the armor right there with Red Bull, really put them in errors right there in points, but they've battled back, and this is that championship pedigree that we're talking about, not only with Hamilton, but with Mercedes. And I really think that depending on what happens here, we're going to have a really good idea, obviously, going into the final race right there. But I think what's even more intriguing right now is that we go into the race tomorrow, and then we're going to go into the final race coming up next weekend, is that where this year is different in so many ways. I just love the two main differences that I'm looking forward to with these final two races is, number one, you've got a true points race happening right here. You don't have the thing that's been settled, the World Driving Championship settled, a month ago or whatever the case used to be. But not only that, we're going to go into these two races right now, and you got a heck of a lot of drivers. You got a heck of a lot of drivers that are going to be factors in these races that want championship points. Yeah, they may not be the World Driving Championship. Maybe they're not racing here with Hamilton or Verstappen, but they want those points, and they're going to be racing in and of themselves. I mean, you've got the other Red Bull, you got the other Mercedes. I mean, you got Checo that's in this, and you've got final races here for some of these guys. Nico is running. This is a swan song for him. So you've got that happening. You've got guys like Sebastian Vettel, where he's really wanting to finish the year with a sprint, where it's been disappointing for him with the moving over to Aston Martin. There's just so many things that are going to be happening in these last two races. And then you go to this upstart course that we're talking about here in Saudi Arabia, brand new. They've been on the track now, but that's all that's there. I mean, you have the data that you have from the last 2 days, and that's it. And that's what you're working with. And this is going to be a really great run. This is going to be a really really great run down to the World Driving Championship with these two guys. And it's a rivalry that we've watched. It's a very respectful rivalry. These guys, immense amount of respect for one another. The guys truly like one another. But when they get on this racetrack tomorrow and then the following week to settle the World Driving Championship, all this lovey-dovey stuff, she gone. As it should be, because these are two guys that are going to battle it out to the end. And I think what's really going to be the key right here, Red Bull's been here before. This is nothing new to Red Bull. Of course, it's a completely different package. You know, Red Bull now with Honda, back in the time with Infiniti, there with Vettel, with all the world championships. So these are two teams that are, I talk about it all the time on the NASCAR side. This is going to be great to watch these teams battle it out. I love it when you get to races. Obviously, you want it one on the race track, but man, I love it when you add that added intrigue right there where you get it's got to be one in the garage, it's got to be one in the prep and all of that. I mean, that's really how, you know, when folks talk about racing, talk about the drivers and all of that, it's like, yeah, that's the guys that you see on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But let me tell you something, these races are won and lost in preparation. These races are won and lost in the garage. One slight mistake and it can cost you a world driving championship. So, I mean, it could be. I mean, depending what happens here, this could be all settled. I mean, Verstappen could go in here. Verstappen can leave Saudi Arabia as the world driving champion. But, guys, I'm here to tell you, this thing, we're going into the final week. We are going into the final race to settle this. And it's long overdue. I mean, the TV ratings have been exceptional. Again, we talked about the Netflix series, just everything. It's come full circle, and the racing hasn't disappointed, and going to new venues as if it wasn't enough, just with, you know, the excitement and the racing and the back and forth and just the drama. But now we're doing it, we're going to new places, and I think it's just tremendous. I think it's just tremendous. And to watch Lewis Hamilton battle back, I mean, this is a Tom Brady, man. This is a Tom Brady moment right here for Lewis Hamilton. Yeah, I mean, still with the same team, still doing all of that, but this is Lewis Hamilton. He's taking it on the chin, man. He is taking it on the chin this year, but he and his team, he has rallied his team. Question whatever you want about motor changes. Should there have been more penalties? They've done this a few times, I'd like to add. I think there should have been stiffer penalties, but we don't have instant replay in Formula One. But it's a Tom Brady moment. And the GOAT, you know, arguably, some will argue, but the GOAT is on the cusp of making another run and taking yet another world driving championship. And I'm here to tell you, if he pulls it off, in my opinion, it's going to be the most incredible one of all the championships that Lewis Hamilton has won. That is Formula One. Two races to go, 8 points apart, and they get set to battle it out. We got pit stop news and notes coming up. There's lots to talk about in there. Actually, do want to talk a little bit about Sebastian Vettel. Got some news for him. And then we're going to take a look at that Monster Energy Supercross schedule as we are right on the brink of getting those back in the arenas. That's coming up. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn, live, local, digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
Yeah, we do. We talk a lot of racing here. We talk all kinds of racing. Thanks to everyone for checking in. Revved Up ATX on the Horn as we are back rolling once again. Those 11 o'clock Texas games are over. We may have some interruptions here as we get with baseball, basketball and baseball and all that. But it's part of the deal. But glad to be back on the air here with Revved Up ATX as we are on the Horn. Pit stop news and notes in our final segment as we get set to send you over to my man. It is Tyler Campbell coming up, Mr. TC Speaks, high noon right here on the Horn. Got to talk a little bit of course, as I always talk about, Pit Stop Needs and Notes, presented by Audio Visual Consultations. Great folks right there, Tom McKay, all the folks, whether you home theater needs, whatever it is. You want multi-screens, you want sound, whatever it is, don't try to do it yourself. I've tried to do it myself, and I have a couple of units at the house that I've done myself, and you walk in and you're like, Tom McKay didn't do this. Look at all the wires back there, man. What's going on here? Call Tom McKay, 255-8678, avconsultations.com. Good folks right there. It is Tom McKay. Supercross news this week. Zach Osborne, really, really good career for Zach Osborne. And it's funny with Supercross. And, of course, we talked to The Voice. We talked to The Voice here a couple of weeks ago. What a great interview that was. You can catch that podcast at hornfm.com, along with all of our weekday shows, all of the Saturday shows. Everything is right there. All the high school content, Flex ATX, all of that is right there at hornfm.com. But so, Supercross, just brutal. I mean, like I've said in the past, this was extreme before extreme was cool. And I've watched Supercross as well, Supercross, Motocross, whatever you want to call it. What's the difference? Motocross, you're doing it outside. When we talk about Monster Energy Supercross, they're doing it in arena-type settings because you do have some of those venues that are actually outdoor stadiums. But anyway, so that's the main difference. But 16 years, Zach Osborne, 32 years old, and hanging it up. Four major U.S. championships with the Husqvarna team. Just good stuff for him. Really helping that Husqvarna team really establish itself. I mean, he's got in the 250s, 250 SX East Championship, 250 Motocross Championship as well there in that same season of 2018. The East title, just a lot right there. Did have tremendous into 2020. Really cool for him as he won the Supercross main event there in Salt Lake City. And then he just blazes through. So what you have the Monster Energy Supercross Series. When that ends, they go outdoor to the Motocross Series, and he takes that momentum there in that finale in 2020 in Salt Lake and just blazes through and wins the outdoor championship. You're thinking, man, this dude right here, he is on pace and is going to be a guy contending, as it is. Unfortunately, with so many of these Supercross racers, I mean, there was an injury right there, and it was a back injury, and he's going to call it good. Going to call it good, stepping away at a good point, a good career, a really good career for Zach Osborne as he will now move on to his next venture, and we will see what that's going to be. But as I said, Supercross, they get fired off in January, and that's what we'll really hit home with as we go into the new year. When the calendar turns to 2022, we will really have you great coverage of Supercross. Let's take a look at that schedule as it's going to lay out this year. So last year was drastically different. If you remember correctly, the season actually started in Texas, which is odd. And of course, this was, California, much more stringent, the COVID pandemic still, not that it's gone. However, it was still really affecting California in January of last year. So everything shifted, and it was really the motocross, the supercross, that for the longest time, really, if you really look at the roots of all of this, it's in that over on the West Coast or up north, but it's always been really strong down here in the South. But a lot of the roots right there, I mean, a lot of the first motocross or supercross, really what you would call the riders that really glorified and brought it to prominence were over from the West Coast, and they will actually go back to the West Coast to start this thing off again. I mean, as it should be. That's where it needs to start. I thought it was really odd last year when everything kicked off in Houston. I was really glad that they were here in our state, but it's like, okay, this is just not really the same. so it'll fire off, but yeah, Cooper Webb, your champion, and there's actually going to be a Christmas Day special, I believe, that will be on NBC, so you can actually get a preview of all of this. But here's your schedule. Round one, January 8th, it's going to take off with Anaheim 1. Love that. Anaheim 1, man. And I'll tell you what that means. January the 8th, so right after the turn of the calendar, then over to Oakland on the January 15th, January 22nd, you go to San Diego. Anaheim 2. All within 1 month. You've got 4 weeks all in a row. Anaheim 2 back on January 29th. Then we get into February, February 5th. It's in Glendale, Arizona. Anaheim 3, round 6, February the 12th. Then all the way across the country for February 19th to Minneapolis. And then on round 8, which will be on February 26th, the birthday of my beautiful wife, Tracy. I don't know if I'll be giving her this as a gift. I don't think she'll probably want to go to this. But they'll be at AT&T Stadium there for round number 8. Round number 9 outdoors at Daytona International Speedway on March 5th. Then to Detroit, as they will be at Ford Field March the 12th. Indianapolis at Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium on March the 19th, Seattle, Washington on March the 26th, St. Louis on April 9th, that's birthday of mine, by the way, round 14 in Atlanta, Georgia, April 16th. Then they go to Foxborough on the 23rd of April, Denver on the 30th of April, and then you round it out in Salt Lake City in May. So that's your schedule right there. And it is all, as you hear those dates right there, as I'm giving those, I'll also post those on the Revved Up Sports Show Facebook page and on the Horn Facebook page. It's back to back. It's boom, boom, boom. There is no give. And it's folks say, well, that's not a very long schedule. Well, it is a hell of a lot long schedule if you're doing it every week. So cool stuff right there as we get set for Supercross coming up. It fires off on January the 8th. Josh Berry, we've talked about him, and coming up in the next couple of weeks, we will have the AMM Collision Revved Up ATX 2021 Driver of the Year, and this definitely is a guy that is in contention. Josh Berry, what a run he has had across the short tracks. He is a guy, he gives guys like us, he gives the short track guys hope, because he is, he's done it the hard way. He'll be driving for Junior Motorsports. He's in the Xfinity Series full-time next year. He's had a great career, pretty much built the late model stock series on his own, put it into prominence, into relevance, like I was talking about earlier. He wins the Thanksgiving Classic, probably his last full-time race in a late model stock. Good stuff right there. I saw something from Rachel Brooks, Sky Sports, that she posted, I believe it was back on Thursday, talking back to Formula One right quick. Sebastian Vettel, who we talked about with the Aston Martin, multiple time Formula One World Driving Championship, he did a karting event. He did a karting event all females. And he said, I want these aspiring drivers to come in. I want them to be in this karting event so I can teach them some of the stuff that's helped me become a championship winning driver. And that's pretty cool right there for Sebastian Vettel. Truly one of the cool dudes when it comes to race car drivers, and just a lot of class, a whole lot of class. And you really hope that Vettel is able to finish out his career whenever that time is on a high note. And they'll keep working there at Aston Martin. Snowball Derby happening at Pensacola, and that is the Super Bowl of short track racing. You have 51 super late models from all over the country that have converged to Five Flag Speedway, the half mile speed plant over there, and you will have this place jam packed. It is not only just a racing event. You've got pro late models, you've got trucks, you've got open wheel modifieds, you've got local classes. There is so much that happens right there. As we're doing this on Saturday, we've already had races right now. You've got the Snowflake 100 that will happen tonight. You can check in at Revved Up ATX on Twitter, and we'll have live updates for you right there with everything going on right there. But you've got guys like Eric Jones, who will apparently stay in the petty car, as I talked about there with the GMS purchasing all of that, the crazy dollars we talked about in the first segment. He will apparently stay behind the wheel of the 43, which I like. I want Eric Jones to have that opportunity, because this dude is really, really good. And hopefully this is something that will help Jones. People realize how really, really good this kid is. And he is a past winner of the Snowball Derby, and that's going to be really cool. If you want to check it out, racingamerica.com, you can stream it, and you will enjoy that. That will get you hooked on some short track racing if you check that out. Also want to throw this out. I talked about this in the first segment. Of course, that win this year that we had with Bubba Wallace. On Wednesday, December 1st, this past Wednesday, we celebrated, my goodness, just think about that, the 58th anniversary of Wendell Scott's win at Jacksonville Speedway Park in Florida. My goodness. And it took 2,045 races later for the next African-American to win a NASCAR Grand National Cup, whatever you want to call it, event. Man, what a day. And a great celebration for the Wendell Scott family is finally getting that trophy in place, and just everything that that happened there. Definitely different paths for those two drivers as their escalation. If you really want to do some fascinating reading, check out Wendell Scott and learn everything about everything or learn everything about his rise into NASCAR racing, and just a lot of obstacles, really, really good stuff right there, and celebrating a monumental day. This has been a great program. I'll tell you, it's a lot that we're trying to get in here, because like I said, it's funny, you know, 3-4 football games, you know, whatever it is right there, and you're not on the air. So much happens. I was talking to someone during the week, and they said, oh, yeah, I bet you're not doing a lot right now because NASCAR's done. I'm like, this is probably my busiest time of the year. But good stuff, and we will be back next Saturday right here on the airwaves. Big thanks, J.R. John Reichel behind the glass. He is the man that makes it happen. He is the crew chief. Check in. We're back next Saturday right here We're live, local, digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. I'm Rodney Rodriguez. This is Revved Up ATX.